Good morning to all military personnel around the world on this Thanksgiving Day. May it be a blessed Thanksgiving Day for you and yours. But today's sermon will be about Jesus's Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day for Jesus was that day when Jesus Christ said, "I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and revealed them unto babes, so that flesh and blood shall not enter heaven." And Jesus' Thanksgiving Day is recorded in Scripture as Jesus in his human nature meditated on the depth of the depravity of fallen human nature, the devastating power of sin upon mankind, and more importantly, the overwhelming magnitude of God's grace and mercy and long-suffering, focused primarily on the lowest of humanity. Grace that was wide as the ocean, as deep as the seas. Remember also, this meditation of Jesus was only in his human nature, for in his divine nature he was omnipotent and omniscient, and he needed no meditation. Yes, on this Thanksgiving Day of Jesus Christ, he marveled and meditated upon the incalculable wisdom, the sovereignty of God's grand master blueprint, written before the creation, when he, as the second person of the Trinity, had already decreed that unsanctified, unglorified, unredeemed blood, sin would not, and flesh would not enter into heaven. No, sin did not surprise God or thwart God's master blueprint. No, after our covenant-breaking sin in the Garden of Eden, God swore an oath that no flesh and blood, as he had created them before sin, would ever enter heaven. None, zero, nada, zilch. Pride was the first sin of disobedience in both heaven and on earth. And after that sin of pride was discovered in heaven, God swore pride would never again be found in heaven, and that no human on earth would ever be redeemed in their pride, which sadly flesh and blood are saturated with in the home, in the church, in the city, in the government. The world and counterfeit Christendom has turned the world upside down with open sin, and therefore that they count true Christians as fools. But we glory in that name received from the world. Paul says through the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Oh, how totally upside down the world has become today. And how our godly forefathers would thunder condemnation upon corrupt Christendom and corrupt government today for turning everything upside down, and instead of counting themselves as fools, counting true Christians as fools and fools as Christians. But the Lord has said, "Wisdom is known by her children." Yes, God says emphatically that flesh and blood, as he created Adam and Eve and all human descendants before sin, shall not enter heaven as flesh and blood. Yes, God swore this in his great wrath, and he can swear by no greater, that no flesh and blood shall be accepted in his sight. Now, obviously, this does not mean that no human beings will reach heaven. No, not at all. But it does mean that only those that will be redeemed, glorified, and created into the image of God, only they, a remnant of humanity, and of that remnant usually means 10%, then only they who are sanctified and transformed from the blood, the flesh and blood of our original sin into the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, they must have that image before they can enter heaven. Yes, that remnant that shall enter heaven shall only consist of renewed and sanctified flesh in Jesus Christ. For God says of his children, I make all things new, a new creation, a new creature, transformed in the blood of Jesus Christ is man's only hope. Yes, this is Jesus' Thanksgiving Day, also that of the remnant that God does redeem, that he does transform from flesh and blood into the image of Jesus Christ. These humans, lowly humans in society, shall be the largest part, and they are primarily found among the poor, the meek, the lonely, the grieving, the offscouring of the earth, the handicapped, the blind, the lame, the marginalized, and so forth. Yes, this class of humans, which has the least tendency toward pride in themselves, yes, the least likely of all mankind, the poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness upon the earth. Yes, the beatitude Christians who seem ready to perish daily. In Matthew 11, verse 4 through 7, listen to what Jesus testifies, that a man will look. He says, to this man will I look. He who is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, all the proud, all the haughty, all the wise, all the rich, all the lofty, all those who know it all those esteemed by men, will not be sanctified by Jesus' blood, but be cast off forever and ever. God says, those things esteemed by man are despised by God. Do you hear it? What is esteemed by man is despised by God, and that includes all of our worldly wisdom. Oh, what a solemn warning then for those with such proud characteristics, for they are counterfeit Christians living upon the earth. There is no room for pride in true Christianity. None, zero, zilch. No, only sanctified, only glorified flesh, humbled flesh and blood, transformed flesh and blood, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ and are in Christ. Only they shall be able to enter heaven in God's new and living way. Yes, this was Jesus' Thanksgiving Day, that the Trinity had made a way, this new and living way of Jesus Christ, whereby some, usually a remnant of all human flesh and blood, that would yet be saved by him in his blood, found in him. Yes, it was Thanksgiving Day for Jesus in the sense that there was yet a work for him to do, that man had not ruined everything in paradise in our sin, but that according to God's eternal plan, that he, Jesus, would be the actual and the total means whereby this remnant would realize salvation, that this remnant would see that he is the way, the life, and the truth. Oh, in the Council of Peace, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, before time had ever begun, had pledged himself for this specific purpose. Do you hear it? Saying, "Lo, I come. Lo, I come, O Father, to do thy will, for in the volume of the book it is written of me." Thanksgiving Day for Jesus. The Trinity formed the body of the second person of the Trinity to assume a human nature. Jesus alone would be the means of the remnant's salvation. Those who were called out of this world by God, called out from the vast masses of billions of humans who would and are to be born on earth. Yes, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Yes, this was Thanksgiving Day for Jesus, in that this remnant was his inheritance, which had been promised to him by the Father. It was Jesus' Thanksgiving Day also, in the sense that instead of all sinning mankind being righteously destroyed, that God would yet save a remnant. Now, a remnant is usually 10% in the Bible. Because of our Eden sin, God would have been righteous if he had destroyed every single living being upon the earth. Every single one. Yes, lamentable that all humans could not be saved as they could in the covenant of works. But now even a 10% remnant is saved, is still an infinite mercy and an infinite wonder of free and sovereign grace. Oh, strive to be found in that remnant that Jesus has Thanksgiving Day for. Yes, even a remnant experiencing superabounding grace. He did not have to save anyone. But out of free and sovereign grace, he chose to. Our godly forefathers often said, even if there was only one person to be saved on earth, that would be an infinite mercy of God. And yes, we would have to strive to be that one person. For flesh and blood shall not enter heaven. Do you ever think about that infinite grace, that anyone on earth could possibly be saved after Eden? How is it possible in sin that was so great? Much less what we read in Revelations, hundreds, thousands, millions, an innumerable multitude is gathered on that last day. The remnant in each generation redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, look at the infinitely compassionate Jesus weeping, yes, sobbing greatly on the top of the Mount of Olives, where he considered how his own nation Israel had rejected him and opened hell for themselves. No, God takes no delight in condemning sinners, condemning pride, but he must, because sin cannot enter heaven. Yes, it is Thanksgiving Day for Jesus as he meditates upon the Father's infinite will that only beatitude Christians will enter heaven. Those beatitude Christians who alone would experience his grace, being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, who must say so often in their life that, how is it possible for me to be redeemed? Blessed are those who mourn. Oh, listen as Jesus tells the two assistants of John the Baptist who had come to him in doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah or not. Jesus didn't answer a word to those assistants, but he said, go and shew John again those things which you do hear and see. Jesus did not send those messengers back to John with a verbal answer of words. No, he simply said to John's assistants, go tell John all that you have seen today. That's your answer. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The leopards are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. There's your answer, John the Baptist. By my works. And blessed is he, Jesus said, whoever is not offended in me. Jesus works amongst the lowest of the population, the scum of the earth, we would say. And yes, John the Baptist would recognize this answer, though not in words, in Jesus' actions, as the truth written throughout the Bible. God redeems the remnant, the lowest of humanity. Here was the clearest evidence of the Messiah, of his work, that Jesus' work especially focused his ministry on the lower echelon of the people of Israel. Those who have no reason to think they know it all. Those who have no reason to have pride in themselves. Those who are beatitude Christians, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who mourn daily, who are persecuted daily. That's who Jesus came for. And for this, it is Thanksgiving Day for him. As we said, God so hates pride, and the pride of flesh and blood offends him greatly. It is Thanksgiving Day for Jesus, as he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them to babes. And here's the reason why. Even so, O Father, because it seemed good in thy sight. God does not have to give lowly flesh and blood humans any reasons for any of his actions beyond what his word tells us, gives us. Yes, as we said, God so abhors pride of man. Human flesh by itself and human pride are so offensive to him that free and sovereign grace can be extended only to a very few of the upper classes of Israel, of the upper classes of the world. And even fewer to the elite of the heathens. Yes, there's certainly a few exceptions of the heathens and of the upper class would receive God's spirit of wisdom. But look around. The vast majority of God's grace of salvation went to the poorest, the weakest, the most unlearned, the diseased, the dying, the hopeless. He has the lowest of humanity, where pride could least be found. God says, just look at your church in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Jesus says, just look in your church. God says, just look in the true church itself. The evidence is very, very clear. There are not many of society's upper echelon in a true Christian church. And the question must be, why? Why? And the reason is, for such counterfeit Christians have become far too wise in themselves, far too educated to be taught by Christ, far too puffed up with themselves, far too proud to follow the lowly cross, far too sophisticated to believe in the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Yes, far too educated to believe in the simplicity of the gospel for Christianity. And yes, just watch, sooner or later, the stumbling block of Christ trips them up. And after a time, they become offended and leave true Christianity, believing their own inventions. Yes, such false Christians, counterfeit Christians, may still maintain a form of Christianity and even have it grow mightily. But the essence of submission to the spiritual lowliness of Jesus Christ is missing. The spiritual Christ is missing, replaced by hundreds of imitations of Christ. Oh, how many before conversion are blind in their own blindness, rail against the supposed inferiority of the quality of the words of Scripture generated in their feeble, puny, finite minds. Ministers trying to please peer pressure and to appear acceptable and to make the church acceptable in society. Oh, Jesus never intended it for that purpose. And this is his Thanksgiving Day, that it was hidden from those who were wise and revealed to babes who were humble. Those bowing to Jesus Christ in complete surrender. Oh, that is an offense to natural man. That is the stumbling block where they reject the cornerstone of the gospel itself. Bunyan said, I had all friends until I became a Christian, and then everyone tried to stop me from being a fool for Christ. But Bunyan was a fool for Christ. Those who tried to stop him were the real fools. Where Christ has hidden, God has hidden these precious truths from them. Jesus uses the example of babies, little children who fully trust. They don't know everything. They are so innocent and so lacking in pride overall. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me in their simplicity, in their trust, in their confidence, in their non-pride. Now, our scripture reading for this morning is from four places in Scripture. Come, let us bow in the dust before his great throne of mercy and beg him to give us wisdom today, to strip away all of our human wisdom, all of our counterfeit Christian wisdom, and learn from wisdom himself. For wisdom, Jesus Christ has said on this Thanksgiving Day, I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and revealed them unto babes. And tragically, the world counts these precious remnant, these precious babes in truth, as fools for Christ. They have it reversed. Read from Matthew 11, verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But where shall I liken this generation? Jesus said, it is like children sitting in the market and calling to their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came, neither eating or drinking, and they said, behold, a man, gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and of sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom of the world then is justified of worldly wisdom. They are fools. They are the fools. God's precious children are not. They are only counted as fools for believing the simplicity of the gospel. Oh, then began Jesus to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works had been done, because they had seen Jesus' work, heard Jesus' words, and they repented not. They were far too wise for the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, for if the mighty works would have been done in you, had been done before in Sodom, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. They did not hear my gospel. They did not have the opportunity to repent. To whom much is given, much is required. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven in your psalms, with your Pharisee Christian religion, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, Sodom would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, all wise Christians, all counterfeit Christians who know better than the Bible, that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, and I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Babes of grace. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. When Jesus cries out, come unto me, all ye that labor, you beatitude Christians, mourning, grieving, persecuted, hungering, and thirsting, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then we will skip down to Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that would be the Pharisee Christians, that they were righteous and despised all others. Isaiah 6, verse 9. And he said, go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes of counterfeit Christendom, lest they see with their eyes and learn and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and convert and be healed. Yes, Jesus said this to illustrate the hypocrisy of counterfeit Christendom, who are so wise they know more than what is in the Bible. Jesus says two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The proud Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast constantly, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified, rather than the other, the Pharisee, the proud Pharisee, who believed he knew it all. For Jesus says, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus far, the four readings of God's precious and infallible word, pointing out then that great hypocrisy found in counterfeit Christendom and revealed, hidden from them and revealed to babes, a remnant scattered over the face of the earth, sometimes only two or three gathered together in a house, in a cave, on a mountain, in the wilderness. But there is where true Christianity is. Yes, God on every page of the Bible points out, oh, listen to him, my way is not your way. My way is infinitely above and infinitely opposite to the ways of proud men. Over and over and over, Jesus says to mankind, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For my thoughts and my ways are infinitely higher than yours. Oh, in this morning's Thanksgiving sermon, we're going to probe deeper into the theme of Jesus' Thanksgiving Day. We will see this theme in two main points. Our first point is Jesus' Thanksgiving Day. Thankfulness that flesh and blood is locked out and walled out of heaven. Our second point is Jesus' Thanksgiving Day, in that God has and is actively hiding salvation from the wise, the learned, the rich, the proud, the counterfeit Christian. But he has revealed it to the beatitude babes. Yes, it is Jesus' Thanksgiving Day, knowing that all who oppose him will and must be destroyed, even if on the outside they look so religious, so churchy, so Christian, so good. God looks at the heart. Now in our first point, Satan is the great liar. He is the great counterfeiter. Satan is especially skilled at imitating Christ, to be as close to Christ as he can be. And tragically, Satan does his greatest and his major work inside of the Christian church, where he is cunningly disguised as an angel of light. And he is so skillful at his disguise that amazingly he is often even chosen as the Christian church leader. Oh, who can understand it, but it is a truth throughout history. Such leaders become such great and high Christians, so filled with their own wisdom, filled with their own pride, that they can reject and twist and apostatize against Scripture without fear, without shame, without blushing. Yes, God does not only actively lock heathens out of heaven, but he actively blinds all counterfeit Christians also. Yes, so many people, Christians included, lust and want to become rich and famous and wise and respected in the world. But God says the opposite of true Christians: become fools to the world. In your poverty, you are rich, incredibly rich, unfathomably rich. If you have God, poor Christian, grieving Christian, you have everything. Even though you must live in great poverty, live in trying circumstances, or live in active persecution, you, Christian, are rich beyond all the words of the dictionary. You are rich because you are in Christ, in that remnant that babes have the riches of the gospel revealed to. Oh, what riches there are in possessing the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ. Yes, possessing God is the greatest riches by far. Far, far, far beyond all valuation of any other thing. And God has revealed himself to the babes. He has not revealed himself to the proud, to those who know it all, to those who distort, twist, and manipulate and replace Scripture, which is so dominant in Christendom today. In our second point, it is Jesus' Thanksgiving Day that the Trinity actively does blind the wise and does reveal the true Scriptures to the little beatitude babes. When Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, there in his bosom he carried all of his babes, his saints, with him. Those who had ever lived on earth, those who are presently living on earth, those who will live on the earth in the future if God spares this earth. Jesus carried all the babes into heaven. He left the proud Christians, the counterfeit Christians to perish with the heathens? Yes, on the cross, Jesus could say, "It is finished. The price for sin has been fully paid. Not one more, not one less shall be saved and enter heaven. For there on the cross, Jesus was made like unto sin in view of his Father, and his Father poured out upon him the full wrath that God had against sin, that God had carried against sin to be punished either by Jesus Christ or by that person in hell. Yes, on this Thanksgiving Day, Jesus has paid for every sin with his blood. Yes, Luther said, there is enough power and enough efficacy in Jesus' blood to wash away the sins of 1,000 worlds, if there were such a thing. But God revealed it to babes. He had not one bit revealed to counterfeit Christians, to the wise, to those who were above sin. God leaves them over to their sin, such people, but he is actively also working to both save and to both condemn and to not deny salvation to certain of mankind and all of counterfeit Christendom. Oh, how quickly it can happen. Only look at the 7 churches of Revelations. Within 40 years of their founding by the Apostle Paul, 5 of the 7 churches had already apostatized. They had become too wise for Christianity. They had become too important, too wise in their own mind for the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Oh, how quickly a church can become corrupted. Let us hear and fear and examine ourselves. Are we those wise whom the gospel is essentially hidden? Or are we the babes where the gospel is revealed? Yes, when mankind openly sins in the church, in Christianity, then God intentionally works to blind those humans so that they cannot be saved. Sounds hard to believe, but our text says it clearly. Jesus said, "I thank thee, O Father, thou hast hid this from the wise and revealed it to the babes." Yes, in another part of Scripture, we read that many believed on Jesus, but they believed for the wrong reasons. And we read, Jesus did not commit himself to them, for he knew man. They only wanted him to become king of the world. They didn't want him to become king of their lives and tell them what to do, and insist that Scripture had to be the doctrine of life. Oh, adultery is bad, but spiritual adultery is far, far more prevalent, far, far worse than physical idolatry in the world. How upside down the counterfeit Christendom has turned itself. Jesus said the time will even come that men will put you out of the synagogues. The time will even come that they will kill you, imagining that they are wise and they are doing God's servants to get rid of the heathens in the church. Oh, the Christian church and their leaders put Jesus, the Son of God, to death on the cross. You do not need to think that the counterfeit Christian church is any better today. The truth is hidden from them and revealed to babes, not my words. Those are Jesus' words, and it is Thanksgiving Day for him as he thanks God for that great reality. Oh, how deep man has fallen, especially within the Christendom in this generation. Yes, how utterly astounded even the apostles in Jesus' day were to hear Jesus say, it is impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. Impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. The Pharisees had taught this every day, all day. Yes, the Christian church in Jesus' day erroneously taught that only the rich were saved, that the whole host of the lower echelon of humanity, the poor, would not enter heaven, that the diseased, the lepers, the handicapped, for example, were not even allowed to enter into the temple. They taught that God saved only good people, esteemed people, wise people in society. But listen, listen, listen. Jesus said something entirely, vastly, far, far different. Jesus said to the Pharisee Christians that taught that foolishness, that the harlots and the publicans would go to heaven before you Pharisees who teach such corrupt theology. Yes, the Pharisee Christian church in Jesus' day had turned God's truth upside down again. Another one of the 31 times in history that they turned it upside down. And Jesus uses the illustration of the camel gate entrance in a parable, which illustrates that gate into heaven, which is so narrow that no one can enter into with something of themselves. They must be stripped in order to squeeze in. This is the context and the meaning of the camel gate parable, that we must lose everything of ourselves to enter into heaven. We must become babes. We must become what the world calls fools for Christ. Oh, the babes are not fools. The world calls them fools. But when they are pointing, then there are three fingers pointing back at the real fools. Are those who do not believe Scripture. Oh, God has said, I will send strong delusions upon those among mankind. Oh, so many people believe that God is a remote God, that he is far removed from the earth, and he's far removed from daily direct contact, second by second, with governing everything on earth. But they are fools who think such. For God controls every cell in the universe so that it perfectly fits his grandmaster blueprint he made before the earth began, before he created the earth. Now, to do this, as we said, God sends strong delusions upon mankind to intentionally deceive them. Oh, and there can be no greater delusion than the delusion of evolution for the last 150 years. God says at the end of the earth, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. How fast? In the twinkling of an eye, 1/70th of a second, God will create a whole new universe. Where then is the foolishness of evolution that believes God took 13.8 billion years to create the earth? That is the type of strong delusion that God sends upon humanity today, and especially in this generation. Oh, many Christians believe that God maybe has foreseen all things, but he does not foreordain all things that they will happen. Oh, foolishness. Scripture tells us that it is God that controls all things every second, and he will send such delusions as evolution upon those who he wishes to blind. Oh, our old human nature does not die until the saint dies. Then when the saint is transformed and made into a new creature, then when the saint is sanctified, then when the saint is glorified in Jesus Christ, God says, behold, I have made all things new. I've taken away even your old nature that crops up so often. Yes, the Apostle Paul, a few months before his death by martyrdom, still saw in himself his old nature rising up so often, so corrupt, so hardened, so rebellious, that Paul had to cry out in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? Oh, Paul saw himself for what he was, for what his old nature remained. Paul saw there was no force on earth which could break his old nature, but the power of God. Yes, this was holy Paul, one of the holiest men of the Bible, saw that old nature within him and cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. How few in this day, how few of counterfeit Christendom may know that language, but it is essential to know. It is the language of the Beatitude Christian, of the Beatitude babes. For the last, Jesus says, shall be first, the first shall be last. Oh, how hard it is to find a humble human on earth. God's eye rose over the whole face of the earth to find humility. Our old nature flares up constantly because we want to be kings again as we were in Eden. Man constantly wants to return to the covenant of works, which has been forever irrevocably destroyed by us, not just ruined, but utterly destroyed. Oh, Jesus says in Jeremiah 6, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers of the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friends shall perish. For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding in counterfeit Christendom. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Jesus says further in chapter 11, verse 14, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up a cry or a prayer for them to me. For God says, I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. For they have become so wise in themselves, they have changed my word. And chapter 12, verse 7, I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage to me is as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore have I hated it, hated his counterfeit church. He says further in Jeremiah 23, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people with smooth things, with false things, with lies. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you with the evils of your doing, saith the Lord. And in Jeremiah 2, verse 8, Jesus condemns the priests where they said not, where is the Lord, that we may return? That they that handle the law know me not. The pastors also transgress against me. And the prophets prophesy by false gods, by Baal, and walk after things that do not profit. Oh, counterfeit Christendom does not want to believe it, but God says, go unto this counterfeit people and say, hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall not see, and not perceive. Not my words, God's words, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted. And then, if they come as beatitude Christians, I would heal them. No, this is the reason why Jesus speaks in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. God intentionally blinds those who are willing to be blind. And God says unto you, the remnant, the babes, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But others are taught in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. Oh, listen to the sum of things. In Psalm 64, verse 5, they encourage themselves, God says, in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities to do them. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them is very deep. Jeremiah 10, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we can see how horrible this has generated itself in this generation of pride. Next month, the whole American Congress is set. Yes, the president will sign unless the Lord intervenes to make the sins of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, the official law of America. Oh, who could comprehend it? What a horrible lie. What God has condemned as an abomination in his sight over 30 times in Scripture is going to be the law of the land unless the Lord intervenes before next month. And the greatest tragedy, sadly, sadly, tragically, in all of this overall Christendom, counterfeit Christian, is silent, for they are complicit in this sin. Yes, they are calling it the new holiness. These are those that Jesus gives thanks for on Thanksgiving Day, that his gospel is hidden from those who imagine themselves wise. But he reveals his truth to babes. For all those who oppose these sins that shall become America's law, this abomination against Scripture, oh, look what they are called. They are called fools. How upside down the world has turned itself. How upside down counterfeit Christendom has turned itself to willingly pervert Scripture with these sins. So willingly, yes, we must accept the slander of those of the upside-down world, of the upside-down corrupt Christendom. Yes, we must wear it as a badge of honor. Yes, indeed, we are fools for Christ. But it is only your words. You, in your sin, are the real fools going against Scripture, where God has hidden it from you who imagine yourselves wise. Yes, some of these have said already blasphemously, now that these laws are made supreme laws in the land, now God must apologize for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah 4,000 years ago, and for preventing the world from realizing the joy of committing this sin and have it counted as holiness in the church. Now they say blasphemously, God must apologize. Oh, how unbelievable blasphemy is in our day. How our godly forefathers, if they could come back to life today, think about your grandfather, your great-grandfather, how they would thunder condemnation upon such governments and such Christendom, which have made sin the law, made sin holiness, and have joined hands in this sin against God. Oh, they, as we said, they are the fools. But they will call true Christians, the Beatitude babes, fools. But how much more than God, who is alive and who is watching everything closely, will condemn his own corrupt church, which largely counts this horrific sins as the new holiness Already 50% of the churches have. It does not take much imagination to see that 90 or more percentage of the churches will accept this sin as holiness. These are those that God has hidden from the wise. Look around at the world today, descending steadily, relentlessly into utter chaos, utter confusion, utter disasters. And so many say, oh, it cannot get worse. But we have every reason to fear that it will become worse. We have every reason to fear that we are in the time of the 10 virgins, the last event of the earth, where Satan, we read, is loosed for a season to attack Christianity, to assault Christianity. And just look at how successful Satan has been in our day, where even as we read in the parable of the 10 virgins, in the Christian church, even the saints are sleeping. Even the saints are sleeping. They are only wakened 1 minute before Jesus comes on the clouds. One short period of time to find their faith again, to light their candles, and to go into Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus said, this is my Thanksgiving Day, that God has hidden the gospel truths from all who imagine themselves wise, from all who imagine they know more than Scripture. And God has revealed the gospel truths to babes, beatitude babes, who need the word of God, every word of God, who need to be found in Jesus. Else they will perish. Oh, it is Jesus' Thanksgiving Day. Thankful that God's will be perfectly done, and that all the foolish inventions of men who are fools shall fail, that the world's philosophy, the counterfeit Christian's philosophy, which has turned the world upside down today with open sin, and therefore counts true Christians as fools. Oh, grant that we may glory in that name received from the world, received from counterfeit Christendom. Paul says it, he wore that honor with gratitude. Paul says, through the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise, we are weak, but ye are strong, we are honorable, ye are honorable, we are despised. Oh, how upside down the world has become. As we said already, how our godly forefathers would thunder condemnation upon us for turning Christianity upside down, counting the babes, the beatitude babes, the true Christians as fools, and the real fools as Christians. But the Lord has said, wisdom is known of her children. Come then, let us repent on this Jesus Thanksgiving Day and beg to be made babes, beatitude babes, and beg that all the wisdom of man may perish from us, and that we may be saved in Jesus Christ, in his blood, not by the wisdom of man.